Indeed, let us get to work here and welcome to Article 5 Live, the election aftermath. It is November the 8th, 2020, Sunday night, 8:30, only 3 days in past the election, 3 or 4 days past the election. It's high time to get busy taking our republic back. Welcome to Article 5 Live. I apologize for being late. Was on the what we used to call the B-line highway. We call it the B-in-line highway tonight because there was about a two-hour delay. So I apologize for the late start tonight, but I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to make a few comments. It is unfortunate that the network news believes they have the power to declare the next president of the United States. They don't give a damn about voters. They think they have the power to declare it. Not one single vote has been certified for either candidate at this point. The state secretaries of state or whatever the election apparatus is in the several 50 states, it is up to them to certify election totals. Not only that, even if they certify the total, there is a myriad of litigation that is going to have to be sorted through before anyone is actually declared a winner of anything. This is going to get ugly no matter what happens. Whether or not the Democrats are successful in the biggest election steal in the history of the world, or President Trump is able to save his presidency through, if the judges in the courtroom have enough balls to do the right thing in the face of all the media pressure to give it to Biden, it's going to get really ugly in that case as well. There is no way out of this. Blood will run in the streets. And I'll tell you one thing. The people that are blamed for the upcoming slaughter that will occur either way are the people in the media, the lying, stinking people that lie to the public about what's really going on. Because, you know, politicians lie, everybody knows that. But when you turn on the news and you're one of those people that only listens to one layer of information, you're going to think that Joe Biden's the president-elect of the United States. And he is not. But unfortunately, I'll bet over half the country, including many, many people on our side, think that Joe Biden is the president-elect right now. I'd be willing to bet my life that's a fact. I haven't been able to do any polling on that. But this is how the media works. This is the power of the rotten, stinking legacy media and the social media that edits any information to the contrary of that. They regulate the narrative by disallowing anything that disagrees with their precious narrative that Joe Biden's the president-elect. Joe Biden is not the president-elect. In fact, there's a high, high likelihood he will not ever become the president-elect. Because of all the evidence that is going to be presented in a court of law of various different election thefts. They may have to nullify the entire election. The Democrats have done such wide-range theft of this election in multiple states. There is no way to sort out, even in a courtroom, which ballots should be counted and which ballots should not be counted. I wish I were wrong about this. I wish that none of this ever happened and that people on our side would have gone and voted in the proportion that we needed to overcome the fraud. Like I warned way in advance, we needed a Teddy Roosevelt-style turnout. We needed 90%+ turnout in order to avoid the death that's going to occur because of this. I am sickened by a measly 65% turnout or 67% or whatever it is. That means there's 35% of registered voters that don't give a shit about what's going on now. That's totally inexcusable. They can share some of the blame for the upcoming death that's coming as a result of this. Because America is not going to stand down and take this. The people that are patriots in this country are not going to stand for this. Trust me. I know these people. It's not going to stand. So, yeah, I'm a little upset about that. Because all of this is totally unnecessary. If we would have got up and voted in the kind of percentages we needed to. Okay, yeah, 67% is not bad on a regular election. That would be commendable. We needed 90. There was many, many people that sat on their hands and sat this election out. Absolutely sinful. We needed you to overcome the fraud. Many people, including myself, warned and warned and warned, get out there and vote. Now look what we have. We have the biggest mess in the history of this country. This mess is bigger than the Civil War. At least there was clear-cut reasons to fight then. Now the information flow is so muddled, nobody knows what in the hell's going on. If you listen to legacy mainstream media, and that's all you listen to? Excuse me if I offend you, but you're a damn fool. If you're not getting alternative media sources to figure out what in the hell's going on by now, you're a damn fool. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, or anything else. Whether you're old school, rhino, whatever the hell you call yourself, if you're not getting all kinds of alternative information, you're an absolute fool. So anyway, but probably nobody listening to this broadcast is in that category, thankfully. I'm almost 100% sure about that. But I certainly appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to my rant, late as it is here on this fine Sunday evening in the formerly great state of Arizona. Why do I say formerly great state? Because in 2016, the electorate of Maricopa County, which is the bulk of Arizona's voting, got pissed off at Helen Purcell, the long, long time county recorder, who prior to that time, nobody ever had a single complaint about. We had a voting system in Maricopa County that nobody didn't trust on the Democrat side or the Republican side. We had a great ballot. It had an arrow tail and arrowhead. You drew one line across it. There was no Sharpie nonsense. None of this other crap that's going on under Fontes. And because Helen and her crew made the decision to save some money on the primary, because our lame asses don't usually show up more than 25% of the electorate for a primary, she decided to condense the places you could go to about 30 in Maricopa County. Well, then the Trump phenomena happened after she made that budgetary decision. And some of you had to wait in line for an hour and a half or two to vote for President Trump in the primary. So we got pissed off at Helen Purcell and fired her. So what happened then in the next election? We fired her and we elected Adrian Fontes, a leftist lawyer funded by George Soros, who helped the Fast and Furious perpetrators. Now he's a leftist operative in Maricopa County, busy altering and obfuscating and shutting off cameras in counting rooms and coming up with emergency voting at the last minute and all the other crap he pulled, which caused us to lose seats in 18. And now we have the Sharpie gate here in Maricopa County. It says right on your ballot, by the way, don't use a Sharpie. I went to vote in person. All they had was Sharpies. And they said, oh, don't worry about it. Anyway, Maricopa County really screwed the pooch when we allowed Adrian Fontes, the enemy, to take over counting our votes. I heard a headline, I didn't have time to read the article, that many, many, a bulk of conservatives have dumped Fox News and are now moving to Chris Ruddy Operation Newsmax. And One America News Network and other alternative outlets such as Band.video. Alex warned us about this stuff months in advance. Everybody thinks he's a nut. Well, he is a nut. He even admits he's a nut. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, folks. He's telling us the truth. Everything he said was going to happen has happened. What do you have? Do you have to be convinced? I know. Oh, I don't listen to conspiracy theory sites. Give me an ever-loving break. There's no theory about this conspiracy. This is a conspiracy fact, not a conspiracy theory. The evidence is so generous that there is no way that anybody should stop backing the president or give up or surrender to this farcical crap of President-elect Biden. That just hasn't happened yet. It may happen, but it certainly has not happened yet. So you, to steal a phrase from Trump, you linguine-spined Republicans out there that want to concede this election and think that Trump should just step down. Bullshit. I'm sorry, I usually don't cuss on this broadcast, but right now I don't have any radio stations lined up. I'm not going to get, you know, you can still let your kids in the room if you want. I'll stop it. But listen, this is very upsetting stuff. And I'm glad, I'm proud of us patriots who have not lost their temper and have not gotten into violence. And I don't advocate for any violence. Now, if somebody gets violent with you, I advocate taking care of yourself. But let them draw first blood, and they better watch out once they do. I was hoping to come to you with this broadcast with a much different tone. Unfortunately, that's not what we chose to do. We chose, 35% of us chose to sit on our ass and not vote for this president. That was really stupid. We needed a Teddy Roosevelt-type turnout for this election. I think that was 93%, if I recall. That's what we needed, and I told you we needed that to overcome the fraud. If we turned out in those numbers, what would have happened is we would have barely won because it would have overcame all the fraud. Now, fortunately, the CIA and the Homeland Security did work out a program where they watermarked all the mail-in ballots in all the key states that they knew ahead of time were going to be cheated in. So there's going to be material evidence of the cheating to be presented in the courtrooms. This is a good thing, but it's only about 20% of what we need to overturn the public opinion of this election, which is what's going to cause all the bloodshed. Anybody that pays attention can see this crap coming a mile away. But yet we sat on our ass and didn't vote for our president. 35% of us. Absolutely shameful. Unnecessary. What's about to ensue in this country was totally preventable by us, on our side. Us patriots could have stopped it. But no, we sat in the couch instead of going to vote. Maybe there was a ball game on or some movie you wanted to see or something. You know, something more important than saving this republic. Yeah, if I'm a little pissed off, pardon me. And God bless all the patriots out there every day at noon with the stop the steal stuff. Everybody picks up their trash when they go home. We don't leave any garbage around. We're totally respectful of the police. There's no burning. There's no car flipping. There's no window breaking. That's called a peaceful protest. Not the shit that those people on the other side do. So I commend you, Patriots. I was amongst you yesterday out there downtown, and I'm proud to be part of the movement to save this republic. It's not even about Donald Trump at this point. Whether he wins or loses, we have to fight like hell. Have you heard Joe Biden's plans? He's going to lock us down. He's going to mandate inoculations. He's going to implement contact tracing. This is the plan, man. This is the plan. This is to break us. And if you want to resist, you can resist, but you won't be able to. You won't be able to leave your house. You won't be able to do business anywhere. This is the mark of the beast, my good friends. If you don't think so, well, wake up. We need to fight it. Some people will say, well, it's prophecy. There's no fighting it. You want to believe that? Go ahead. I'm not falling for it. We have God-given rights to not be treated this way by our government. They work for us, for crying out loud. We don't work for them. We don't have to listen to their ass. We have the duty to throw oppressive government off. Read our founding documents if you don't believe me. It is our obligation to throw off such government. They are our employees, not the other way around. You want to be a slave? I don't. Thank you very much. I will fight before I become a slave. Old crippled old bastard that I am, I will fight. Anyway, I'm done screaming. I'm done ranting. I'm done cussing. I'm going to bring somebody on with a lot more cool head. Maybe he'll tell me how much I'm full of, or maybe he'll agree with me. I don't even know what he's going to say. But our dear friend and our longtime colleague on this broadcast and our radio program, Mr. James Copeland, is with us, and he's going to join us right now. James Copeland, welcome to Article 5 Live, sir.
Well, I've come to this show this evening to talk to you about the tragedy of Donald J. Trump. And in the course of this evening, I'm sure we will cover a number of things that no one else is talking about. Donald Trump and his life as President of the United States has yielded one of the great tragedies in the history of the world. It is right up there with Job in the Bible and in all of Shakespeare's great tragedarians like Hamlet and Othello, where good men who achieved greatly were attacked by a force from outside that could not be controlled. In Othello's case, it was a rumor. In Trump's case, it was supposedly a bat virus, but probably a Chinese trick that got out of a lab in Wuhan. And what has happened here is that the wonderful economy and all the diplomatic and military advances the Trump administration occurred in its first term were immediately wiped out by this virus. Everyone became preoccupied. The mainstream media lied about it. Bob Woodward especially lied about it. And now we have a situation where we are trying to reconstruct exactly what happened. And so that's what I'm here to talk to you about tonight. And the first subject I'd like to bring up is the ballots. You were very prescient in your opening talking about fraud, the fraud of these ballots. But let me talk to you about what I did 3 weeks ago on your show when I pointed out that a lot of this was not necessarily fraud by election officials, but it was the fraud of state governments mailing out packets, boxes, trucks full of blank ballots. And as I pointed out earlier, and I won't deal much with this because we've been through this ground before, we won in 2016 because most of the people who were not interested in Hillary Clinton and the lame things the Democrats were proposing just didn't want the hassle of voting. If you're in Philadelphia County, It's damn cold outside. It's raining or snowing. You have to stand in long lines to vote. Besides, you might have to leave work. Or if you have to stay at work all day, you have to go and vote in the evening and the lines are longer. So heck, we're not going to vote. And the low average, low information voter that Rush is talking about all the time didn't vote. And therefore, the strength of the committed Trump base won Philadelphia County, Wayne County, Milwaukee County, and embarrassed the mainstream media and became one of the greatest presidents in American history with the first term that no other president has achieved. Nowadays, the ballots arrive in your home. They can be given to other people to fill out. You can decide to fill it out. No hassle, no rain, no long lines. Mark an X, put the thing back in the ballot envelope, put the envelope in the mailbox. The postman the next day will pick it up and take it to the post office. You voted. Many people will vote who didn't ever register. Many people who vote who weren't citizens. I think that this was a tragedy. The only way we were ever in this republic going to mail out these ballots was this damn pandemic. So what say you?
I agree with a lot of that. And as you can see, some of the audiences, I don't know if you popped that up there, Samuel. Can you see that, James?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're getting accolades from the listenership. So, yeah, you know, the interesting thing, though, if you know who Steve Pachenik is, he was the co-founder of the Delta Force, and he's worked with the CIA for decades. He is not a government employee, but he was given the clearance to break the news a few days ago that the mail-in ballots were watermarked by a Homeland Security operation, which will help in litigation, providing we have judges that are not on the take, because there will be provable material evidence that ballot fraud was committed in several different states. Not to mention General McInerney on Steve Bannon's War Room warned us. He said, red alert, red alert. There's a program that was written by a genius to be used by the CIA on foreign governments to influence their direction, and it's called Hammer and Scorecard. And during the Obama administration, this was privatized and put into contractors' hands, and then now we know that it's been used against the American public in our own election. And this is what happened to a county. It was discovered in Michigan. It flipped 6,000 votes, which turned one of the Republican candidacies. They flipped it back, and it's been used in 47 other counties that are bigger than that county in the state of Michigan. Therefore, we can assume that Michigan was stolen with this thing. Now we find out that very program was used in 30 other states, James. This is the biggest mess in the history of elections, in more than one front, not just the mail-in ballots. But you're 100% right. They used the COVID excuse to falsify ballots through mail-ins. Go ahead.
Well, we have two situations here going on. There's watermarked ballots, but I'm sure those were not the only ballots that were cast. So the ones that aren't watermarked can easily be discarded, and we can have a recount of the rest. But what I'm still worried about is all of the people who got a watermarked ballot and should have gotten it and voted, but they're the kind of people who have no interest in making an effort to register, to vote, to study the candidates, to look at the issues. They just, as my father used to say, look for the donkey's tail and you pull that and vote straight ticket. Anyway, that's a good start, especially in Philadelphia.
Well, it'll help that we're going to have material evidence in the court of law. And if we have judges that have balls and are not compromised, it will have an effect in the courtroom.
Well, I heard one conservative commentator, I believe it was Karl Rove, say, but I can't, I won't promise that. But on nationwide television, one of the conservative commentators said that the Republican Party in Nevada had a list of 10,000 people who had left the state And yet a ballot caught up with them and they voted. And there was no effort, of course, to match the ballot and the name on the ballot with whether the person was still living in the state. And of course, you know, you must be a resident of the state wherein you vote or your vote is invalid.
Absolutely correct. You must be now, talking about Nevada.
I made the argument that I just made to you to a liberal. And a liberal said to me, well, James, you're the dumbest man I've ever met. When you're voting for president, it's a national election. It doesn't matter where you live. You can be any place and vote for president. And I gently reminded my liberal friend, you don't ever vote for president. You vote for electors in a state where you live, and that elector votes for president.
See, you're 100% right. And this is the tragedy of the level of ignorance in the American electorate on both sides, frankly. It's not just the liberals that are stupid in that regard, James. Many of our side do not know what you just said. I will guarantee you this. And that's a result of three decades of the degradation of our education system. In my, you know, this is a multi-pronged attack on the United States of America that's coming to fruition before our very eyes. So, what, you know, and that's just another example of what I've been squawking about for years, right, Jim?
And this brings me to another point I want to bring up, and we may disagree on this. I believe that Donald Trump gave him a terrible self-inflicted wound. And I'll tell you why. Nobody is saying this in the media, even in the alternative media. I've never heard this. But go back to the beginning of the pandemic. Most everybody got it wrong. The WHO first said, well, this is nothing. Fauci says, that's nothing. Nancy Pelosi says, go to Chinatown, have a good time. You don't have to mask or anything. No, nobody really got this right. And so everybody has some deniability because everybody's wrong. Trump was more right than most because he stopped the flights from China. He stopped the flights from Europe. He immediately put Pence in charge of a task force, and that task force immediately began rebuilding the supply of ventilators, mask gowns, and other medical equipment that the Obama administration left bare. He went on and started Operation Warp Speed to get Big Pharma on the road to a vaccine. He used the Defense Production Act and got auto companies in Michigan building ventilators because we were out of ventilators. He sent hospital ships to New York, and Mr. Cuomo, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. In fact, I'm not even sure he's a knife in the drawer. He's more like the whisk. He sent all the COVID patients into the nursing homes and killed all the old people. Trump had a wonderful record here. But when he allowed Robert Woodward, his sworn enemy, to have an interview, and Woodward got him to say a gotcha answer to a gotcha question, Woodward then spun that fable into Biden's big issue in the election, that the only thing that mattered, not the economy, not the military, not the diplomatic, not anything about trade, the only thing that mattered is that Donald Trump killed 200 million people because he didn't know how to run the virus.
I agree. In a less ignorant and more honest world, what you just said would have made no difference. But the overall ignorance of American people that are not willing to dig past the first level of information dissemination would be fooled by an old creepy man, a lying piece of garbage like Bob Woodward. And I have evidence of that. If you don't believe me, read the new book called Postgate by John O'Connor. Go ahead.
Bob Woodward made his bones in journalism by making Richard Nixon resign. You don't think he wants to bag another president?
Now, sure,
why would Trump give him an interview? He'd already written a book about Trump that was highly unfavorable.
Well, Trump has a bit of hubris when it comes to keeping his enemies close. I'll give you that. He's not perfect. He believes he can handle himself in any situation, and sometimes he gets bitten by that. I'll give you that one.
Okay, now I think it was unwise for his advisors to let him have this thing with Woodward.
His advisors don't run him.
But they, if he doesn't want to get advice, he should fire all the advisors.
Maybe
what
so.
You do with advisors is the advisors advise, and then you look at what they say, and then you make the final decision. You're the general. You're the admiral. Okay?
All right.
But you can't know everything going on every place in the world, and you need input.
Absolutely.
But let me say this in Trump's behalf. He gave a very sound reason for what he did. He said, I knew this was serious, and he knew it was serious. He stopped the flights. He did all of these other things, the task force, the warp speed and everything, okay? But I did not want to panic the American people. Now, Woodward and Biden, in their appearances, they have said, the American people don't panic. Yes, they do. They always have. Roosevelt.
When's the last time you can find a package of toilet paper as soon as this stuff happened? If that's not a panic, I don't know what is.
Well, we're bombed at Pearl Harbor. Roosevelt goes on the radio, tells everybody, this is a disaster. It's a day that will live in infamy. We're now going to fight a world war. Do the people say, oh, well, this is fine. Let's work two shifts. Let's join the army. No. They go out and get 3 million Orientals in the West Coast and put them in a concentration camp because they're afraid that one of them is a Japanese spy. People always, like in the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s, Reagan never used the word AIDS, okay? In the AIDS epidemic, there was stuff going around in the mainstream media that this was going to spread to the straight population. And in the large towns that had a number of gay individuals living, like San Francisco and New York, there was indeed panic. I think Absolutely. Trump took the proper course and Woodward twisted it against him, and Biden then had an issue. And then, after your comment, this is what Trump should have done about it. Go ahead.
So, I agree with everything you just said. And if we didn't have an absolutely inordinate amount of fraud, Trump would have won in a landslide.
Well, we'll get to that a little later. I want to say one other thing here. The smartest man and the most honest man in journalism, one of the great old-time journalists, is Brit Hume. He's like Edward R. Murrow, Walter Cronkite, Hunkley and Brinkley, Harry Reasoner. Starting at the beginning of April, he went on Chris Wallace's show, and he made quite a point out of the fact that he thought President Trump was doing a damn fine job, but doesn't explain it well. Now,
I
believe in that studio was also Karl Rove, and I'm surprised that that message never got to Trump, because Trump could have destroyed all of what Woodward was doing by simply using a rhetorical technique called the litany. Ads could be made out of this in 30-second spots, and this could be worked into his rallies, a litany. This is a 30-second or 1 minute rapid-fire, Walter Winchell-style listing of all of the things you've done in the order that you've done them, and then smile at the end and said, and my opponent has done nothing. But his message was very badly mixed in with all kinds of other things, like regret over the Russia hoax, regret over the Ukrainian impeachment, regret over all Mitt Romney's comments or Mr. Sasse's comments and calling Joe Biden names like Sleepy Joe and so on. And the whole rally got to be a melange, and it didn't laser focus on the major issue right. of the campaign.
Right. He did do that litany during the rallies, but here's the problem with that. Only people that are going to vote for Trump anyway are watching the rallies. If he did it in an ad, as you suggested, then all kinds of people would see that. So I actually agree with that point. It's a good one.
So anyway, I think this is just a tragedy. And I believe that we have legal grounds in Nevada and in Pennsylvania, and the courts will have to wade through this. There absolutely has to be a recount in Georgia.
As in Michigan.
Well, you know, Michigan I lived in Michigan for 20 years, and I've called Michigan in people in Michigan to try to figure out what exactly is going on there. Because although all of the governor electoral apparatus in Michigan is probably Democrat controlled, Mr. James ran such a wonderful race, and usually the senator runs behind the top of the ticket.
Right.
And I just never could understand why James could put up these numbers and appear to defeat Peters until what happened at the very end, and that'll have to be investigated. And Trump was not running ahead of James.
Yeah, that was odd. There's many oddities around, especially the graph. If you've seen the Pennsylvania graph, have you seen that?
Yes.
That is, okay, it may not be more than circumstantial evidence, but it's some of the best circumstantial evidence I've ever seen. You know, they always tell you that in Pennsylvania, that they didn't start counting the mail-in ballots until Election Day. I call BS on that. They counted all the ballots prior to Election Day, but they didn't publish that fact. Then they waited to see how the vote was going. That's why they stopped the count, to inject the fake ballots and cause that huge spike in the graph, and then continued on as normal. That, to me, is plain as day what happened.
I used to live in Pittsburgh, and the one thing I don't understand, in Pittsburgh, the newspaper is the leader. And the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette called or backed Trump for president in the election.
First time in God knows how long.
A couple of decades. And I would have expected him to have picked up all the independents and weak Democrats out of that thing, because
the old school Democrats are like the union types that work in the mines and that kind of stuff. Trump should have got all of those votes.
The local newspaper there is enormously well thought of. And yet Biden wins Allegheny County. I can't believe that.
You see that comment from Sam?
Yes.
That's a great one. Thank you, Samuel.
Very good, Sam. Outstanding.
So, you know, this is somewhat therapeutic to talk to you, James. I was never despondent. I've been quite angry, mostly at our side, for some of the same reasons that you've pointed out. The Trump campaign was really, really missed the mark in a lot of ways. They could have prevented some of this. They couldn't have done much about the fraud other than what they already did. But another thing that really gripes me, President Trump had plenty of warning about the effects of social media clampdowns on any information that wasn't pro-Democrat. They're censoring everyone, including this broadcast, clamping the hell out of it, censoring posts that I would make, taking them down, fact-checking this, fact-check with big quote marks on it, okay? And, you know, you can put a joke meme and they'll take it down because they say, well, this is not true, you know, and it's obvious it's not true because it's just a joke. That's the kind of fact-checking these assholes do. I mean, pardon my language, but that's what they're doing. And Trump and company seemed to ignore all this, didn't do a damn thing, didn't push the Justice Department to take a look at civil violations. For instance, Laura Loomer, candidate for Donald Trump's own congressional district in Florida, was precluded from doing any advertisement on social media. Meanwhile, they let all her opponents do as much. They cut her PayPal accounts, they cut her bank accounts, yet she still almost won that race. But if she would have had the benefit of social media for advertisement, there's no question she would have won in a landslide. So these things, that's a civil rights violation, is it not?
Well, it's certainly a violation of the Section 230 of the Communications Code that governs these people, because according to that, they're given special status because they're a platform. And as a platform...
Or the town square type thing.
They're a town square, and anybody can go into the town square, and if they don't violate the law of the law of sedition or anything like that, they can say what they want. And what is happening, and this was the result of all of these people like Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey coming before Lindsey Graham's committee recently, they were pointed out all the things that you just pointed out about so-called fact-checking. And, you know, I listened to NPR the other day, and they were fact-checking some things, and they got the facts wrong. I mean, this is stupid. If you are a platform, let the public decide. You know, Justice Black of the Supreme Court many years ago said it best.
Yep.
A free marketplace of idea, and let the public decide.
Well, you're a sane man, and in a sane world, that's what we do. But this isn't a sane world any longer. People have completely lost any touch with logic and reality here. They just want to believe what they want to believe. They don't, and anything that goes against the lies that been told, they don't even want to hear you. I tried to have conversation with the other side when I was harassed by the leftards at the, when I left the polling place. I stood outside the 75-foot, and I tried to do an exit poll. I was harassed by Biden supporters. How do I know? They had masks on that said Biden, Joe and the Ho, 2020. No, I wish they might have said that. But anyway, they would harass me and say, you can't ask people how they voted. I said, excuse me, I can do anything I want. This is public property. I'm asking people politely, hey, would you like to share who you voted with my webpage? Who are they to tell me I can't ask people that? If they turn me down, I said, okay, thank you. And I go to the next one. And they ran me out of there and chased me. I led them to the police department, and they ran away like the wussies that they are. But that's what happened. That was my, that's the degree of hubris they have at trying to quell our free speech in this country. These people told me I can't ask people how they voted.
May I bring up another point? Because the clock on the wall says your show is nearly over.
No, I'm going till 10 o'clock tonight because I was started a half hour late.
All right. Now I was gonna say on this show earlier that actually I grieve the loss of the presidency until everything is counted off and become official. But I'm damn proud of what the Republicans did in this election. And actually, if Biden ends up being the winner, hook or crook, we have a government that we are still in control. My thinking is this. The Democrats have half the government. They have the House, but much no more narrowly, because the big blue wave was not even a big blue dribble, right? And so the House is a swing of 7 or 8. Nancy's in the House doing her best with AOC, the Green No Deal, higher taxes, Paris Peace Accord. Okay, now we have the Senate. And we're going to talk about the Senate in a minute. And that still will have the filibuster. And we have Mitch McConnell, who does a damn fine job, even though I know you don't like him. And we have the Supreme Court, which will do away with all of this bogus thing, like perhaps eliminating the Electoral College short of a constitutional amendment, which would never pass the states. As an article, as a expert on Article 5, you know that. So in other words, I believe that Republicans are basically still in control of our democracy, but the fight is still to come. Your friend George Soros, a man I once met. Your friend Mike Bloomberg, another gentleman I once met.
In your case friend, the audience doesn't know, Jim Copeland uses that your friend in a very sarcastic manner, because I would like to strangle both of those men if I got the opportunity. Go ahead.
Well, you're right. It's sarcastic. In fact, Jack Dorsey probably would have fact-checked that and said, well, he's not their friend. They wouldn't exactly. have a friend like him.
Yeah, because they don't get it. Left has no sense of humor.
Anyway, these people are going to spend $1 billion in the little state of Georgia trying to win the last two Senate seats, which will make it 50-50. And the vice president, your friend Kamala, also known as Kamala, will break the tie, and Chuck Schumer will be the majority leader. Now, this is what I look for in the statistics. I was hoping Perdue, who was not the best of candidates and best of campaigners, would limp over the line, but he got 49.7%. He didn't get 50%. But he did beat Mr. Ossoff by 2 full percentage points. And in the runoff, the libertarian guy who got 2.5% of the vote won't be in the runoff because a runoff has only 2. And presumably, although he will be badly outspent, Perdue might survive. Now, the other seat, to my eyes, looks a little more hopeful. The Reverend, Mr. Warnock, who now preaches at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, a church where I once attended a convention, got 34% of the vote in the runoff, in the main election, which was a cattle call. There were 20 people running. He got 34%. And I think that's probably his basic base. Now, there were a few other Democrat candidates that might go to him, and he might get up to 42% or something. Ms. Loeffler got 25%, but Sean Hannity's favorite congressman, do you know the man I'm talking about?
I can't think of the name right now because I've been on the road all day.
Well, I can't think of his name either. I think it's Connors. No, it's Doug Collins.
Collins, yeah. I love Doug Collins.
Doug Collins got 21%. So now, I'm sure the Collins votes will all go to Loeffler, and so will the Libertarian votes go for Loeffler. And she should have a little...
She's a good candidate, by the way, I think.
Well, she's a good candidate. She's a good candidate, but not a long-term incumbent like Lindsey Graham or a Mitch is. So anyway, but that... Until January 5th, when the runoff is run, the mainstream media and all of the big donors will be there all the time. And if the forces that you were lecturing at the top of the show don't get their butts in action and get out to vote in that race, now,
I think they will.
Now, I don't know whether that'll send out all of these ballots in these ballot dumps. I don't know the state of the virus at that time where there'll be all of this. Now, you know, this
that's not the only thing that affect the fraud on the election. Let's not forget that. You know, there is other things.
The Republican governorship controls the Republican administration and can watch that a lot more closely in the vote tabling.
Well, it's actually up to the legislature of each state. Those who control the elections of the state, irrespective of what these idiots on TV are saying.
Well, I understand your point. The point I was made rather inexactly was this. I believe that since we have control of the Georgia State Legislature, they should pass a law stating you must be registered. That shows your interest in voting. And if you wish an absentee ballot, you may apply for one and be granted one. We just aren't going to send all of these things out in a cattle call.
Right.
Now, don't they have the legislature in both houses?
I don't know.
In Georgia?
I'd be lying if I said I think they do.
I think they do, and they have the governorship. So if the legislature does something stupid, the governor can veto it.
Anybody from Georgia want to chime in, go ahead and let us know. We think the Republicans control that state. Which is why it's ridiculous why it's even in question in that case.
Well, I'm sure they control the Senate, because in Georgia they probably still use what's called the unit rule on county representation, plus the fact when Stacey Abrams lost the governorship, if the governor's candidate is going to lose, the losing governor's party is not going to win the Senate. They may win the House. I mean, you don't know where all the people live in Atlanta and Cobb County and DeKalb County and
right.
all those ones down there.
Well,
what's they knew about this runoff?
Well, Georgia's a problem because if it goes against us, they not only control the presidency, the House, they hit the Senate too if Biden pulls this deal off. And kiss American can bend over and kiss its ass goodbye if that be the case.
I believe that if we save the Senate, this will be fine in the long term because Biden will not survive his first term. Harris will be the nominee in the next election, and she will be beaten by a dream Republican ticket of your two favorites, Mitt Romney at the top and Senator Sasse as VP.
Oh, God. Why are they even in the party?
Now, listen, you went to that movie called Revenge of the Sisk, right? Well, this is the Revenge of the Rhinos.
That's not going to happen, Jim. I know it's your dream ticket, not mine, but I got to tell you this. Romney and Sasse don't even have a chance of reelection. I believe they will not be reelected. Now, Sasse didn't run this time, did he?
No, he didn't. And yeah. Romney will always
They're both up in 22, right?
Romney will never lose in Utah. Never. He ran the Olympics. He's their favorite son. He finances his own.
I'm going to bet you an Arizona quarter on that one.
All right. If I'm still alive at that time.
You will be. And you will have to find another Arizona quarter for me like you did the last time you lost that bet with me.
I will leave it on my tombstone and you just stop by and pick it up.
Jeez. Anyhow, Georgia's a problem. Let's move on. Let's talk about Arizona. That's a very interesting subject these days, way too more interesting than I would like to have it. You know, Georgia is, Arizona is absolutely, I'm ashamed. Arizona's blue. When's the last time that happened? Like, never?
It's your fault. I blame it on you. I'm going to say it on your radio program.
Explain.
There is a split in Arizona between the JD faction, the Daniel faction, the ultra-conservative faction, and the Rhino faction, the Doug Ducey's and the these people like that. And that was never together. A lot of energy and money was wasted in the primary, and there's a lot of bad blood, apparently, that has not been able to been papered over by Kelly, the state chairman, and Arizona just was not ready for the A game when the Democrats realized that the makeup of the population in Arizona had changed in 4 years. Many Californians and other people leaving high tax states came here to become Democrats. Plus, you had the big money coming in from outside. And I agree, we didn't have a strong senatorial candidate, and everybody loved the astronaut who ran as an independent.
How long have I warned about that? The appointed one who lost to a communist, Martha McSally, had very little chance of beating Mark Kelly, no matter what.
I'm not sure with the money and the fact that Kelly never uttered the word Democrat, didn't put that on many of his signs, and was talking about being not a Democratic senator or a Republican senator, but an Arizona senator.
Very, very cunning.
I'm not sure anybody could have beaten Kelly, but the party should have, as a party, known that its job was to protect Donald J. Trump. And it didn't do a good job because there is a split. And each side says the same thing. Now, I've never met Doug Ducey. I have a lot of respect for him, but I've never met him. But I imagine if I ask him, well, why don't you get this party together? He would say, well, I'm trying to, but they won't deal. And if I say to JD, well, why don't you get together with Doug Ducey and the moderates, and you can take your favorite congressman with you because he's on your side, and work something out so that...
Listen, I will give Doug Ducey that break, and anybody listening to me should do the same thing. And let me tell you why. Because Doug Ducey has actually changed the way he deals with the media very recently. Now, through the COVID thing and through his arbitrary lockdowns and stuff, I wasn't too pleased with Mr. Ducey. But he seemed to have got a little religion when it comes to the Bill of Rights lately. Because when the media asked Doug Ducey, how can you allow all these rallies with Donald Trump coming into your state, all these people gathering, he said it's called the First Amendment. He finally got some religion there.
Well, he had half an answer right. He didn't say the other half. And I called up one of the people that I knew that might be able to get a word to him about this. He missed the best retort. Gentlemen of the press, I allow these rallies because the First Amendment. And that's why we allowed all these demonstrations that caused COVID.
That. You're 100% right.
Night after night. I mean, right. He could have turned the knife into the Democrat media.
Yeah, he just stuck it in. He could have twisted it, too. That's true.
You people in the media applauded all of these peaceful, they were always peaceful, these peaceful get-togethers, the Kumbaya movement. And
but your rhino buddy Ducey isn't going to go that far, because that's why we call him a rhino, because he doesn't do things like that. That's the whole point, Jim.
Well, I don't think rhinos fail to use retorts. I thought...
No, they fail to use strong retorts that will really benefit the really conservative Republicans.
Well, I think that kind of retort puts the best light on all Republicans and puts paid to the Democrat media argument that somehow Donald Trump and all of his rallies were the only offender of community spread of the COVID-19.
Fair enough. Good point.
Well, how does Sam feel about this? Sam, what do you say about that?
I don't know if Sam's still with us. Maybe he'll comment in a minute. Now, I'd like to say that I'm going to tell a quick story. I might embarrass James Copeland if that's even impossible. One time we were on the radio today. Not today. A long time ago, him and I were on the radio together. And we were talking about Kamala Harris. And he mistakenly, like Freudianly, uttered on the airwaves of Phoenix, Camel Toe Harris, by mistake. And he honestly didn't mean to do it, but it went out over the air. And our board op, Norm, did not catch it. And it was, I've never seen Jim Copeland turn red, but that was one time I did actually see him turn red. True story. No?
Well, JD, I told you at the time, what could I do about it? Climb the tower and try to grab it off before it goes into the
ether. Yes, radio waves travel at the speed of light. Good luck. I know you're Superman, but you're not that fast.
I mean, it's just like you had a couple of expletives that should have been deleted in your right at the beginning of the show.
True. Although we are not regulated by the FCC on this platform, so
that's true.
But I agree. I've done that on the radio too, and luckily I had a broadcast engineer that was quick on the delay button. So he saved me before a couple of times. Anyhow, I thought the audience might enjoy that little bit of history. James Copeland and I have been on the air many hours together, and we have brought you thoughtful commentary that you usually don't hear anywhere else. Now, I want your opinion about this Sharpie business. Now, there are people who swear up and down it makes a difference, but Katie Hobbs in their little cave there with their little Skype thing going on, huddled down in her desk saying, well, if the Sharpie screwed up your ballot will count. How much confidence does that instill in your heart, sir?
Well, I have 100% confidence that they'll get it right because the ballots still exist, and the election people made the point before the election that the use of a Sharpie was not acceptable. It was a chance that the ballot would not be counted by the machines. That was information that was pre-election. So they've got to stick
on the Democrat website, not on the Republican website.
Well, no, it's in the regulations of the state of Arizona. Everything that an administrator.
Yeah, and how many people actually read that, James Copeland?
What I'm saying is that a court will read that. And what I'm saying is that the ballots still exist. And if this is indeed a problem, a court, actually what they'll do is appoint somebody called a master, who is a neutral attorney, to have a task force to investigate, who will look at all of the ballots and see if all of them were genuinely counted and Ms. Hobbs is correct, that nothing was amiss. And if something was amiss, then the court will prescribe a remedy.
Well, I hope that's true. And if what you say is true, then this would force a manual recount of the paper ballots, because the question on the table is whether the Sharpie affects the ability of the tabulation machines to actually count the ballots accurately. So that would do no good to do a recount through the tabulation machines. It must be a manual recount of the entire state of Arizona, for God's sake.
That's what I thought you were talking about, because in the law of all of the states, now sometimes they make the aggrieved party pay for the recount, but there's money available for that. You can always have a manual recount of any election, but most of the states say the state will pay for it if you're within 1%.
Right. And I think that with all the ballots,
we'll still do it, but you've got to pay for it.
By the time all the ballots get counted in Arizona, there may be less than a 1% difference between Biden and Trump.
Well, that may be. But I'm saying that the hand recount has been used many times over the years. It's been used for all levels of elections, from Secretary of State to dog catcher to local board election in the school boards and things like that. And the rule usually in the states I've lived in, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Arizona, I believe all provide if you're the vegetarian candidate for governor and probably got no votes or three or four, if you want a recount and you want to pay for it, they'll give you one. It's in the law.
Right. I agree. And what I'd like to ask you is, do you think that I think I already know the answer to this question on your behalf, but by no means is this election over with. And how much of a egregious or disservice to the American public has the mainstream media made by calling this election for Joe Biden in the light of all of these things that are up on the table and up in the air? What do you see? What do you think?
Well, I'm never in favor of the mainstream media. All of these political commentators, if they're men, used to be ex-sportscasters. They know nothing about the Constitution or history, or their political flacks. Hacks like the ones on CNN, and the women are usually ex-weather bunnies. But I believe, as a debate coach and a citizen and a constitutionalist, I don't worry about what the mainstream media has done, because they've done it equally. The mainstream media, and I've seen a lot of it, not only said, we call this for Biden, and they broadcast Biden's inauguration speech last night, or whatever you call it. But also, they have consistently broadcast on some social media and all broadcast media statements from the Trump administration, including Donald Trump's own strong statement. I guess it was authored last night, but was on today, saying there is no final election until it is officially called by the election officials. You know, and we are going on in the courts. And today this was discussed on Chris Wallace's show, and everybody agreed, even the Democratic woman. The courts will have to decide what
Right, and the courts can even enjoin the certification of any given state until the litigation is completed. Is that not correct?
That's exactly correct. That's what the Supreme Court did in Bush v. Gore. Gore wanted the count to go on forever. Bush was ahead by 537 votes, and we were getting near Inauguration Day. And I guess Gore wanted a hand count of the whole state. Now, most people don't realize what happens to the American government if that happens. If the court says, well, this is so close, we're going to give a hand court in a hand count in every precinct. Okay? January 20th comes and goes. Who was the president? The Speaker of the House.
Well, not that's if the House votes for the Speaker. The House has to vote for the Speaker in that case.
But time out. There is no Speaker of the House because the legislative 82nd or 93rd or whatever Congress ended. It ended July 1st. And maybe the House has not yet come in to elect a Speaker. But probably in that situation, they would have an early session and they'd elect a Speaker. So the Speaker of the House now is the President. And so the court...
True, President Pelosi, I'm warned not sure of this thing.
The Democrat, the Democrats blame the court in Gore v. Bush in stopping the election. But I think they were constitutionally right to do so. And they were the constitutional judges. And so they said, look, we've gone through a lot of these recounts. We've done the best we can on this. And the American government has to go on. So this is it. And that was it. And the vote. And this court, or whatever courts are enjoined with the issue, will decide in each individual case. And I think the strongest cases are in Pennsylvania and in Nevada. And
Georgia, Michigan, and Arizona look viable as well for a challenge.
No, I write it off. Arizona Republicans were not ready. You told them that at the beginning of the show. They made their own bed and they're going to have to sleep in it. If by some, I mean, certainly go through all of the motions, but I can't see how you make up 50,000 votes when there's so few left.
I think only 20,000 behind.
You want to make sure you carry North Carolina. You've absolutely make sure you get a good recount in Georgia. Pennsylvania is key, and you may need the votes in Nevada. And that's where the low-hanging fruit is. And I think the best way to proceed on this, Pennsylvania really is the ball game. So the Supreme Court has got to decide who won Pennsylvania, and that'll be pretty much it. Trump may need another state or two, and then you'll have to go on with more litigation. But if Biden truly wins Pennsylvania, that's the end of it. The game is over.
Now, Pennsylvania has a Republican legislature, doesn't it? At least
they have a Democratic legislature, and they were the fools that said votes could come in 3 days after the election and regardless of postmark be counted. That's one of the earliest.
That came from the court in spite of the legislature, I believe.
Well, I don't know what the Supreme Court.
The higher court in Pennsylvania.
That makes no difference now. It's moot because the original case was decided by the U.S. Supreme Court 4-4 with your friend John Roberts voting with the Democrats that could be done. And then Scalia writes this dissent, which says these ballots ought to be segregated because there can be more litigation about this point.
Yeah, and they punted that. What they did is they punted.
They have said it, they've segregated all of these ballots now. And you know, another thing that nobody is talking about that I hear about, maybe your military friends tell these people to get on the ball. Do you know how many military ballots haven't been counted yet in Pennsylvania? Over 40,000. There's military votes in Michigan, too. I mean, there must be in Georgia, too.
And Arizona.
Well, yeah, Arizona, too. And
this is by no means over, is the overall overarching point. And the the people that are dancing in the streets right now. And my main point about the media was this. With them trying to coronate Biden and what's-her-face, at this point, if Trump wins the battle in the court, that is going to cause the biggest uprising. It's going to make the deaths of the Civil War look like child's play.
But, J.D., I have plenty of stock in forest companies which make plywood.
Building coffins?
Plywood. We've got to board everything up.
Oh, okay. Plywood. Okay.
These peaceful demonstrations.
I thought you were talking about making pine boxes for all the dead bodies.
There will be no violence.
There will be no violence. You heard it here first on Article 5 Live. James Copeland says there will be no violence.
And we know there will be.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Now, look. Now, calm down. I was inexact in my statement because there will always be sporadic violence over most any issues, as we've seen in Portland for the last 6 months, all right? What I'm saying is the bulk of the American public were very angry at the time of Bush versus Gore. You remember that. And yet there wasn't any blood in the streets or anything like that.
But here's the difference, Jim Copeland. The difference is this. At that time, nobody was even slightly in a disagreement about the fact that that election was razor-thin, dead-ass close. Nobody was in dispute of this. In this case here, we have one side that says they won in a landslide, and the other side says they won in a landslide. If that's not a tinderbox, my friend, nothing is.
I'm not sure I agree with you for this reason. I believe
that's why I bring you on, you know.
Well, thank you. I believe that if you ask any Democrat today that voted in that election, they'll tell you that Al Gore would have won if the vote had been done accurately. People, Democrats are as angry about Gore losing as Republicans are angry about Justice Bork losing.
I will give you that, but my point was different than that. My point was everybody agreed on both sides that that election came down to Florida, okay? There's no agreement of such a thing in this election. The Democrats are of the belief that they swept all the states in question. And the Republicans are of the belief that all the states in question were won by the other candidate. And there's at least six states in question. So that's why I think it's a tinderbox.
Tonight you can make another midnight call to your girlfriend, Donna Brazil. But I'll bet if you say to Donna, we Republicans will absolutely give Biden the election if you win Pennsylvania, she'll take it. I think once Pennsylvania is decided, everybody will say that's it.
Right. Well, that may be because, you know,
the Supreme Court decides it.
Well, right. And it's kind of going to be the domino effect, even though the other states may not be really related exactly. I think there's a courage factor, okay? If the courts cave and they don't want to rule fraud this, fraud that, and they don't want the ridicule from the media, which is what I'm afraid of, and they won't have courage enough to maintain the rule of law because they don't want their families threatened by the thugs on the left, and Pennsylvania falls to the left, then there's probably going to be a domino and all the rest of the court cases will be thrown out and America can bend over and kiss its ass goodbye, basically.
JD, I always learn something from you every time we speak. And the thing I learned from you is something I did not know, and I admit to not knowing it. I think that these watermarked ballots, obviously, is the proof of the pudding.
Right, that's why they did it.
And the sweetness of this, I mean, this is just so sweet. Obama sets all of this procedure up, no doubt because he fears it'll be used against him. But he wins in a landslide both times, pretty much, and never is really challenged, even though your friend McCain tried to do a good job. I don't think Romney did a good job. So when you come down
through
to it,
the election.
Well, at any rate, when you come down to it, JD, these watermarks are powerful proof. And if it turns out that these watermark ballots primarily gave a majority to Democrats because they were marked at kitchen tables in Wilkes-Barre by people that hadn't voted in years and now could vote because they didn't want to go down to the polls, then you've lost.
Yes,
if, on the other hand, most of these ballots do not have a watermark, then the game begins.
Indeed. And let me add a little depth to this, too, because this is not just your ordinary watermark. This is a highly technicalized, traceable watermark with cyber technology where they can physically locate a lot of these ballots. Thus, the ones that were thrown out with watermarks, they can find these things. So
that's outstanding. I didn't know it.
Yeah. And so that's a very sophisticated operation conducted by Homeland Security. And this was initiated a couple of years ago when they started this project. Okay. Now, that's a wonderful thing, but it's not enough to make it things right. It will, however, give Rudy Giuliani and his 1,000 lawyers material evidence in the states in question. So it will help.
Well, Rudy is all media and fluff when it comes to legal argument. But the president's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, is probably one of the finest minds I've ever met. And I have met Lawrence Tribe.
Well, in either case, there are 1,000 fine attorneys on the case here. It's not like Trump is fighting this by himself.
You know, I'm reminded very much of what Robert Caro wrote in one of his books about Lyndon Johnson. You know, Johnson stole the Senate election in 1948 from Holt Stevenson, the ex-governor.
Imagine that, a Democrat stealing an election. Who'd have thunk it?
Yes. And so what happened was, election, once it had taken place and the votes had been counted and added, and in the Rio Grande counties, the senior down there that ran the counties was paid by LBJ, and they added votes, and Carroll got to the bottom. He had the names of the votes that were added and testimony from the people. You should read this. It's fascinating. Anyway, in Texas, it was not enough to win the primary election. You had to be ratified by the state convention. Okay? Now, many people...
I like that, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, now the state convention delegates were heavily in favor of Stevenson, the ex-governor. They thought Johnson was a blowhard and an upstart. He'd been a congressman for a couple of years and then ran against this senior statesman who was Mr. Texas, okay? They had the better of the argument in the state convention. And so the night before the state convention, Johnson had all of his lawyers in a room in a hotel in Austin. And they're all talking to him about different things he's got to do. And he stands up and he says, "I want Abe." He's calling for Abe Fortas, who he later puts on the Supreme Court, because Abe was the best legal mind in Texas. And Abe constructed an argument that got him through the state convention by one vote. And he became president. And even now, in certain precincts in Texas, LBJ, even dead, is called Landslide Lyndon. One vote.
Well, he's absolutely a controversial figure, because if you know what you just said and many other facts about LBJ, he is also one of the, well, this, let's just say, controversial. He was, you know, the famous quotes about blacks that I will not repeat on my show because they are too offensive for me to even utter on the air. But Mr. Johnson is a very interesting case indeed. And it doesn't surprise me to hear that he had stolen an election from a loved and respected Republican Texan. That probably makes sense, okay? So, but what doesn't make sense to me is why I know everybody says California has invaded Arizona and thusly changed our demographics so that we are no longer Republican in Maricopa County. Bunk. What happened was we changed county recorders and started losing elections by more, almost the same margin that we used to win them by in one cycle, Jim Copeland, in one cycle.
I don't know whether that's true or not because I haven't studied it, but I do know demographics. There is a much higher percentage of Hispanics in Arizona, and we welcome them.
We love our Hispanics, especially the 40% who voted for President Trump.
You just proved my point. There have been a flood of Hispanics, all welcome, all legal. We want them all to vote, but we don't get 50% of them. And so a lot of those votes are going to go in the balance to our opponents.
There's still only 20%, 20. A little over 20% of the population in Arizona.
But at any rate, I don't think Arizona is in play because the two wings of the Republican Party got all tied up in this primary and have not been speaking lately and did not have their A game for ground game and all kinds of other things. And they allowed the Democrats to flip one.
All right.
You contrast Arizona and the Republican Party with the Republican Party in Texas, which is run by Mr. Abbott and knows what.
No. You know who the RNC chair in Texas is?
I don't care who is the RNC chair. Greg Abbott runs the state of Texas and Ted Cruz is his wingman. And they made damn sure that Texas wasn't going to flip.
Alan West is the one who made Texas didn't get flipped.
I never heard of him.
Well, he's a former congressman from Florida, who's ultra-conservative, and he runs the RNC of Texas.
Well, I'm sure he's a fine man, but if he's a former congressman, he's a loser.
Well, they gerrymandered him out when they got control. The full Florida legislature gerrymandered him out. Otherwise, he would have got reelected.
Now, that's truly funny. They made the gerrymander so obese that he ended up living in Texas.
Well, he moved to Texas where he could get elected in the Republican Party.
But he still couldn't get elected because he was too far to the right. And that's
why he didn't run for Congress in Texas. He got the head of the RNC instead.
Oh, all right. Well,
all right. You need to look into that one a little bit. But let me bring it back to Arizona just for a minute, Jim. I want to ask you a media question about Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of the purported or reported, however you want to put it, exodus of moderate and ultra conservatives from Fox News to Newsmax because of the early call in Arizona? Since you think it was a good call, I don't know what you're going to say, but let's hear it.
Well, I'm going to dodge that question for a moment because it brings up another thing I wanted to bring up on your show that I thought was really vital. And I mentioned this to a couple of Republican operatives on a very low level that I know about, and they didn't seem to think much about it, but I thought it was critical. And I've mentioned this once on your show many months ago. I was listening to NPR driving to work one day, and they have a new show called The Show, and it's local news and so on. And every week, the editorial page editor of The Republic comes on, is interviewed about politics and the news of the day.
Eddie?
I can't recall the man's name. He was whoever is the editorial page editor, not the general editor. But this is the man who edits the editorial page.
Right.
So, and I always enjoyed his comments. I thought he was thoughtful and he seemed to know Arizona in politics inside and out and so on. So he appears, I think, on every Thursday for about 5 minutes. And the left-wing sycophant, who is the announcer, says, they're talking about Arizona politics. And he says, well, this is pretty much of a show in here for the astronaut, isn't it? And the editorial page editor, I don't know his politics, says, well, I wouldn't know. He's taken some very radical positions, and I'm not sure. Now, that's a very interesting thing. It seems to me that if someone who works for a newspaper in the editorial department and is endorsing routinely Democratic candidates for state and federal office, and he says to a left-wing reporter on a left-wing NPR station, well, I think this senatorial candidate has a lot of radical positions that I'm not sure about. Now, that was never unpacked. I thought that the McSally campaign did a lot of ad hominem advertising about Mark Kelly, but never really. I mean, I thought the election, and I watched the debate. She just lost the debate. Why doesn't she ask him, do you support the Green
New Deal? Because she's a lousy debater. She lost the debate with Kyrsten Sinema as well because she doesn't know how to debate.
Well, I mean, that is certainly true. But the debate itself is just a nugget in the campaign.
Well, here's the
media where you use your free media and your surrogates and your advertising to make certain arguments.
That is what a candidate that knows what the hell they're doing does. Okay, my point, my reason for not liking McSally is because she can't debate. She hires a lousy crew who doesn't know how to run ads like you suggested. She should have unpacked this and used this in a campaign ad rather than making ad hominem attacks. So your point is well taken, but I'm going to extrapolate upon that and say that's why McSally was a crappy candidate.
Okay. But I think Kelly Ward is the state chairman and Doug Ducey is the governor. And at some point, they have to go and say to the candidate, why don't you tie him to AOC? One of the things that also...
I agree. That's why I don't like Ducey and I don't like Kelly Ward any longer, because they don't do the very things that you just made a very prescient point that they should have done.
And, you know, AOC, after Joe Biden said the debate, I'm not in favor of the Green New Deal. I'm in favor of the Biden New Deal. I'm not in favor of Obamacare. I'm in favor of Bidencare. And so on. After he signs this radical manifesto authored by Bernie and endorsed by AOC and Elizabeth Warren and the radical left, he starts fudging on this and moving to the middle in the debates. So what does AOC do? She and the squad issues a 5-point people's agenda, the people's agenda. Why isn't that people's agenda plastered to Mark Kelly?
Well, because
make him deny it and he destroys the web. He destroys his votes on the left.
We're making each other's point from different angles.
All right.
And the other thing is, you could say about that, if AOC doing that and Joe Biden doing that, if we had a media doing their job, they would have unpacked that and presented that so people could look at that and say, okay, you know, these guys aren't necessarily being up front. Maybe look at the other side. But we don't have a fair media. They abuse their trust. Their public trust is utterly abused, and we need to modify newsmakers and separate them legally from opinion makers. Opinion people can say whatever the hell they want, but if you're going to call it news, you got to have some kind of responsibility backing it up. And we got to do that or the Republic's gone.
Well, I agree that everything you say, and I hope that eventually MSNBC, which is always losing money, it was originally going to be a mix of television and computers in the old days, and it's just become the Democratic Party, doesn't make a profit. I'm not sure CNN makes a profit.
Well, MSNBC will still be on. MS stands for Microsoft.
That's right.
And Bill Gates still has plenty of hundreds of billions of dollars, particularly after the COVID farce. And he's going to continue to make more hundreds of billions of dollars. He'll probably be a trillionaire before all that's over with, because he owns all the patents on all the quote-unquote remedies for COVID. So, you know, hey, the MSNBC is going to continue to be a hole in the ocean that they throw money down.
I am not certain that MSNBC is owned by Gates and he has any contact anymore, because I believe it's owned by Comcast. It's a corporate thing. And
I know.
And
they can propagandize, can't I?
Well, sure, anyone can propagandize, and you're absolutely right that the news pages should be the news. And one of the men that I respected greatly, now on MSNBC, I no longer respect because he no longer is a newscaster. He's an opinion caster. And that's Brian.
Yeah, Brian. Brian, the liar, the valor theft. Yeah.
On the other hand, though, you can be a newsman on an opinion station like Fox News, which is a cable opinion station. Britt Hume.
Well, Britt, now that he is retired, quote unquote, he seems more like an opinion guy, always trying to run interference and protect the media, the left wingers in the quote unquote news media from running off the track too far. So he tries to bring them back into reality once in a while. But, you know, he is fairer than most, but he's never been a friend of Donald Trump. He came around a little bit and said, you know, and started to report him more fairly in the later years, I got to say.
And I have great respect for Mr. Carlson. I'm delighted his ratings are so high so they can't fire him because he's...
Oh, yeah, because if their rating were up there, he'd be gone a long time ago. Sean Hannity.
He reminds me of Bill O'Reilly without the loofah sponge.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems to be a straight shooting guy. I don't always agree with him. But he always has good evidence of what he's saying.
And he doesn't try to cram what he thinks up your butt, so to speak. He just puts it out there and lets you think about, what do you think about this? And that is the way to present, unlike me, who I want to hammer you over the head with what I think. But, you know, Tucker's got a lot more class than me. Let's just say it. I like it. And probably a lot more brains as well, not to mention experience and a bigger platform.
Anyway, JD, I want to tell you, it's been a delight to be on your show. And I admire your new format and especially your beautiful microphone and backdrop. I hope you're going to become a television star.
Have to get an implant first, but other than that, maybe.
Well, I didn't have a face for television. I'm not even sure I have a face for the internet. But at age 81, it's 10:03. Everyone else has been in bed here in Sun City at 7:30. Yeah. So I'm going to say adieu and thank you greatly. And I will say about you what Roy Acuff used to say about the great country star Loretta Lynn. I will always appear with Loretta.
Well, Jim Copeland, I want to thank you so much for going over all this stuff with me here on Article 5 Live tonight. It's always a pleasure, sir. And I know you need to join your blue hair friends for Betty Bite time. And thanks for coming on. And it's always good to work with you. And we'll talk soon, sir. God bless.
I hope so. God bless.
All right. That's James Copeland, everybody, one of the best people on this planet. And I want to thank him once again for being with us. Now, I have a video for you.
First off, on this emergency Sunday night transmission, let me show you an article posted on Infowars.com with direct links to the Ministry of Defense in the UK. There's a real risk of Third World War being unleashed, top UK general says. And he says because of the COVID-19 lockdowns, their Secretary of Defense, it's already starved millions to death and is already triggering giant wars in the Third and First World that could escalate very easily in a domino effect into World War III. Well, it just so turns out the Communist Chinese and others are on record with Bill Gates admitting that they're trying to lower the world's carbon footprint and destroy everybody else's industries who lock down because they're good guys and want to defeat the virus, and then only Communist China and the globalist holdings are left operating.
The problem is that the population is growing the fastest where people are less able to deal with it. So it's in the very poorest places.
The individuals that Joe Biden is nominating for his COVID-19 task force are on record working for Bill Gates and the UN. And they openly admit they want forced inoculations, contact tracers, and individuals that come to your home and even break up your family and take you away to COVID centers. This isn't some nightmare science fiction movie. This is the reality of what's happening. And Bill Gates is on record just a few weeks ago saying the lockdown's going to last 10 years until you go back to normal. Remember, it was going to be 15 days because the hospitals were full, but they weren't. Then it'd be 2 months, then it'd be 6 months, then it'd be 2 years, then it'd be 5 years. And now they're telling you it's forever.
The only way we'll get completely back to normal is by having not the first generation of vaccines, but eventually a vaccine that is super effective and that a lot of the people take, and that we get the disease eliminated on a global basis. That is where we can finally start taking all the problems that have been created in education, mental health, and start to build back in a positive way.
It's not COVID-19 that's triggering global starvation. It's not COVID-19 that's triggering a global depression. It's not COVID-19 that experts believe could trigger a new world war and have already started countless conflicts. It is the lockdown used, built around the fraud of COVID-19. The empty hospitals they said were filled. All the people that died of other diseases they put in the COVID column. The fact that most of the tests are false positive and the rate of infection increases while the rate of death stays very, very small. They told us 5% of the population will be dead. They told us 2.5 million, then 2.3 million Americans will be dead. They told us 500,000 Brits will be dead. None of it was true. It was part of putting us under a martial law system ahead of taking out nation states run by populists and nationalists like Donald Trump, Bolsonaro, and others. So let that sink in, that the head of the UK military is coming out and admitting that the COVID-19 lockdown is bringing our world towards total destruction.
How worried are you that the global economic crisis brought on by coronavirus could lead to new security threats, potentially even war?
Yes, I mean, I think, you know, we're living at a moment in time where the world is a very uncertain and anxious place. And, of course, the dynamic of global competition is a feature of our lives as well. And I think the real risk we have with quite a lot of the regional conflicts that are going on at the moment is you could see escalation lead to miscalculation. So what that means is that the protagonists, either because they don't realise the implications of their actions, lead to an escalation, which means that more people perhaps get involved, more weaponry gets involved, and before you can contain it, it leads to the sides ending up in a full-blown war. And if you look back at the last century, before both world wars, I think it was unarguable that there was escalation that led to the miscalculation, which ultimately led to war at a scale we would hopefully never see again.
Now, here's where President Trump comes in. Joe Biden is forming his new commission made up of a bunch of Bill Gates and UN alumni that are going to blame President Trump for what happened with COVID-19, despite the fact that UN admits they helped cover up the fact that China is where COVID-19 came from, and that's where the initial spread took place. Joe Biden's transition team today released a nightmare list of information to MarketWatch about what they're planning to do. In it, they say we're going to have a quasi-permanent lockdown that they turn up and dial back whenever they want. That we've all got to have a federal mask mandate, even wear masks in our houses. That contact tracers will be coming into our homes and that forced inoculations are about to take place. But because those inoculations, they admit, won't work because you can't get antibodies for COVID-19 because it's such an alien virus they've engineered, that permanently you're going to have to stay in your home when they say so.
We're going to act to get COVID under control. On day one of my presidency, I'll put in action a plan I've been talking about for months, already laid out, a national mandate, mask wearing, social distancing, testing, tracing, all things, as President Obama just said, that should have and could have been put in place months and months ago.
They're now coming out and saying President Trump is to blame for COVID-19. Hoping he doesn't challenge it, saying that if Trump doesn't give control 70 plus days before he leaves office to Joe Biden, he will be blamed for any future COVID deaths. Even if President Trump does that, they're going to turn around and say, see, he admits he's wrong. His previous response was bad. It's his fault.
Trump's not going to fall for
that shit.
If he does
turn over the administration, which no president's ever done, months early, it sets an incredibly dangerous precedent as well. And now Trump will be signing his legacy on to the endless lockdown and the depression and the worldwide collapse that's being engineered by the globalists to consolidate power and control on record. And then they're still going to blame Trump and say he's the one to blame. The only path out of this is the hardcore steel truth that'll smash through their lies. And that's that Fauci and the UN with Bill Gates cooked this up. They released it. They created the fear. They got it in the United States. They hyped it up. They exaggerated it. They created the hysteria. And now they intend to never turn loose of the weapon they released. And they're going to blame the populist president they launched it on for being the one that allowed it to take place. That is true destruction and inversion of the truth. And it must be rejected because this is a trillion times bigger than President Trump. This is about all of our lives and our future and stopping this medical big pharma tyranny takeover that's happening now. Don't believe me. Go to InfoWars.com and read the quotes from Biden's new UN-backed COVID-19 task force. And above his comments, I have my own comment. Here's what I had to say.
If you want to have a martial law takeover, you want to use medical systems to do it because those are the most respected, and studies show people will submit to that more. Then you create a man-made virus that spreads very well, that's not very deadly, but that reinfects. And then you announce that no one can ever have their freedoms back until it's totally eradicated and that you take the vaccine. Then they tell you, sorry, the vaccine's never going to work either. So you just got to have restrictions of where you go and what you do forever with these apps that control and track your whole life, with the social credit score. And that's the takeover. Then they start announcing, but we are going to send contact tracers to your house and take you away if you don't submit to the medical protocols we're going to carry out that don't even protect you. That's the total takeover plan they can turn on and turn off for every election for total control.
InfoWars has the biggest audiences right now we've ever had, despite the censorship. And I'm not happy about that. People are tuned in because we predicted they steal the election from Trump. We predicted forced inoculation. We predicted contact tracers in films I made 13 years ago because we're going off the globalist own plans. So President Trump, you must address from the Oval Office this fraud. You must take on Fauci. You must take on Gates. I know they're coming to you and saying, we won't blame you for the deaths. We'll protect your entire legacy if you roll over to us. But they want to destroy the American people's legacy, and they're going to betray you. You know they've been lying about you for 5 years. You know they're frauds. And the only way out of this is for you to not concede and to expose these criminals now more than you've ever done. Only you can cut through the censorship and propaganda. Only you can awaken the sleeping giant, and now is the time. Because they are, again, in all these news articles announcing permanent lockdowns, forced inoculations, mask forever. We are going into such an authoritarian nightmare cult. Please, Mr. President, take action. The globalists could never take over America with an outside army or even foreign media. But by controlling big medicine and big pharma, and by controlling U.S. media, they are able to have us hide in our houses and stand down while our economy implodes, while our society falls apart, while millions die from not getting cancer treatment and heart treatment and other diseases treatment. The end game is a guaranteed universal income under a social credit score where they can dictate every facet of your life. Everything I warned of isn't coming now. It's here. And this is the time to resist and the time to say no. We have justice and freedom and history on our hands. And if we don't submit, we will defeat this. If we submit, things only get worse from here. I'm Alex Jones. Thanking you all. God bless and good luck. Please take action.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. They're straight from the mouth of the crazy man, quote unquote, Alex Jones. Didn't sound too damn crazy to me. Sounded like he was telling all of us 100% the truth. And if you're an individual that's not listening to alternative media such as InfoWars, Band.video, 79days.news, you're a damn fool. It's time for you to go to those sites and pay attention to somebody who's willing to put it all on the table. We just had a wonderful man, James Copeland, on for over an hour. And I'm not sure that he's ready to hear the truth. Remember the movie? You can't handle the truth? Nicholson saying that? That's where most of America is, my good friends. And we, the patriots, that are more willing to dive into the layers of things that are actually going on. We must have the strength to disseminate this information. That's what this broadcast is about. That's what Alex's whole site is about. By the way, we've applied for our feed to be added to band.video, and who knows whether he'll do it or not. He's probably got a lot of people trying to contribute content to his site. He only has so much bandwidth he can pay for, but we'd love to be on. We steal most of the guests that's been on InfoWars in the last 4 or 5 years have been on my radio show, because after I see them on InfoWars, I call them up. I say, yeah, I would definitely like to interview that individual. I get a lot of my guest ideas from InfoWars, including Mr. Ted Nugent, who was on our radio show three separate times for an entire hour. So anyway, we've been around. We don't have much reach on the social media platforms because they have a pretty tight clamp on this broadcast. So if you guys want to give me a subscribe on YouTube channel, Article 5 Live. Follow me on Twitter, JD at Article 5 Hour. And go ahead and like and subscribe and make sure you put notifications on for the Article 5 Live Facebook page. Join Friends of Article 5 group. And, you know, give us some love on here. We're working with Blogspot and Dark Sky Radio for a couple of internet radio platforms that should improve the reach of this broadcast. Patriots, let us band together. I've been on the air for, I'm a little late getting off the air, but I thought I wanted to play you that video, and I thought I wanted to bring you a full dose of Mr. James Copeland, because he comes from the establishment. Yeah, I always say Jim Copeland has three feet. He has 1 foot in the past, 1 foot in the establishment, and 1 foot in current affairs. So he always brings a great perspective because he's been around a long time. He's been involved in politics over 60 years. And we always have good banter because I've been around about 50 in politics, not as a commentator, but I've been paying attention for a long time, you guys, and that's why I'm a patriot. And I've examined the left before I went right. And that's the difference between us on the right and the left. They've never heard anything else but their left-wing dribble because they won't hear it. They've been conditioned. We've listened to both sides and picked the correct side. So God bless you for that. Thank you so much, everyone. And I really appreciate everyone being with us tonight here on the broadcast. Thanks for putting up with me being late. Thanks for putting up with my foul mouth and my foul temper. I really appreciate all of that. And nobody did call in tonight, so we'll save call-ins for another night. But I do want to say, we shall never surrender. President Trump will not concede. The fun begins this next week as all the lawsuits are filed and all the various different ways we have to fight this horrific tragedy we find ourselves in. So may God continue to bless you and your family in these United States. And don't forget, Donald J. Trump is still the president for over 70 days, no matter what happens. The next Sunday, I'll be back, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Arizona time, as always. So God bless you. Till then, it's JD signing off. God bless and be safe. We love you.